There are special days that people remember throughout the calendar year. Anniversaries, birthdays. Maybe as the years go on, the birthdays some would rather seek to forget than to remember. Holidays, family days. And so we could go on naming various special days that are remembered. But none more so than that which we read about in this passage in Leviticus chapter 16. Because for the Jew, the highlight of the feasts of the year and the highlight of the calendar year was indeed the Day of Atonement. And it still is special to this day. It was that day in which the high priest was to enter into the holiest of holies once a year on behalf of the people. And he did so to present the shed blood of the innocent victim for the sins of the people. It was that day to be remembered, and it was remembered ever since the night of the Passover in the land of Egypt. For it was then that the people were directed to take the lamb. They were to shed its blood, and its blood was to be applied to the lintels and the doorposts of the home. And the death angel would visit the firstborn of the Egyptians, and upon all where there was no sign of the home sheltering neath the blood, but where the blood was applied in the home, the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And even when the nation were to cross over the Jordan, even when they were to come into the promised land, the Passover was to be remembered at Gilgal. And so you see, there was a great emphasis placed upon this feast. As is true of the offerings that are found in the book of Leviticus, the offering of which is mentioned in this chapter is something which is typical of the once-for-all offering for sin upon the cross of Calvary. They all point forward in time to the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. There are comparisons to be observed. There are truths to be learned. But it is in particular to the words of this chapter, which concern the bringing of the goats to the tabernacle, that I want us to concentrate this evening. And in particular, especially to that goat which was called the scapegoat. I am dealing tonight with the words of verse 20 to 22 of Leviticus chapter 16. It is concerning the scapegoat that was brought to the tabernacle. I want you to see, first of all, the offering for sin. There are various offerings, as I have already intimated, offerings which are detailed throughout the pages of Leviticus. And one of them was the sin offering. And as the term suggests, there must needs be atonement made on behalf and for the sins of the people. I want you to understand, men and women, tonight, and especially you who are not saved, sin is an awful thing. Sin is that which marred earth's beauty from the time of the Garden of Eden. Sin is that which drove the soul of man from peaceful fellowship with his Creator God. Sin is that which damns the soul to a Christless and a lost eternity. And sin is that which must be punished, either in the unpardoned soul in hell itself, or else upon the substitute offered up for and behalf of the sins of the people. And thus we read, in the words of verse 5 of Leviticus chapter 16, "He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering." They were brought to the tabernacle, and those goats were offered instead of their sin, instead of themselves. You will bear in mind the significance of the goats, in that these were animals which were fit to be eaten. You have the words of Deuteronomy chapter 14, and the words of verse 4, where it details the animals which were allowed to be eaten by the children of Israel, and those which were counted as unclean. But in the words of verse 4, we read this, verse 3, "Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat." So the goat was declared as a clean animal. It could be eaten. These were creatures which were considered clean and fit for food and something in itself. which I put to you and suggest to you may suggest the purity of Christ and Himself being a suitable offering for His people. These were animals which were brought from the flock. They were to be offered for the sins of the people. And what's more, you will notice that not only were they brought, but they were also presented before God. Look at the words of verse 7 of the chapter. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were brought before that door. That is where the seat of the divine majesty was. And so it is said to be before the Lord, or over against the place where He dwelt in the holies of holies. In that holy place, the goats were to be brought before the door of it. They were offered before the Lord. And again, there must be significance where the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, for He was to present Himself to God as an offering and as a sacrifice. And He did so as one which was done publicly in the sight of great multitudes and on the behalf of the whole congregation of His people. He presented Himself to bear the sins of many. In that we read in Luke chapter 9 that He set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. The Lord had come to do His Father's will, and that meant laying down His life on the cross. And when that time came, He was not to turn neither to the left hand nor to the right hand, but He stepped forward and He presented Himself as an offering for sin. But when we further consider the Old Testament setting, then we must also note that the two goats that were brought from among the flock, that there was a choice to be made. Look at the words of verse 8. Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. One lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. Aaron the high priest was to cast the lots. For one goat it meant death. It meant the shedding of its blood upon the altar. It meant the presenting of that blood before the mercy seat in the holiest of holies in the presence of God. But for the other goat, it meant being a victim in a different manner. But essentially, it meant being taken away, never to be seen again. It was what was called a scapegoat. But in the choosing of these two goats, and choosing for what purpose was laid to each of them, I believe there is one message, one purpose betrayed, and that is the offering up of Christ upon Mount Calvary for the sins of His people. The Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, whose goings forth were from everlasting to everlasting. And yet, men and women, I want you to consider this, and I trust that you grasp it. Yet in the councils of eternity past, before God breathed this world into existence, and amongst the Godhead, in eternity past, the will of the Father was that one day, when the fullness of time was come, that His only begotten Son will be sent forth to among men, and one day to be offered up as an offering for sin. Scarcely we can take that in. But God decreed that He would give His only begotten Son as an offering for the sin of His people. The choice to put Christ to death was not something men were to make. Just as you notice in this passage, it was not in their hands which goat was to die and which goat was to be the scapegoat. Oh, I bring you there just prior to Calvary. And oh, how the Jews and the Gentiles on that never-to-be-forgotten day, they may have thought it was their choice to put Him to death. Alas, they cried out, "Away with Him! Away with Him! Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" They sought that Barabbas, the chief, the thief, should be released. But alas, Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he was preaching Christ and Him crucified, he was to remind the congregation that day that the choice lay not with themselves, as the guilt of His death surely did. Listen with me to the words of Acts 2, verse 23. Him, that is Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. There's the choice. There's God's decree from eternity past. That's why he was to go to the cross of Calvary. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He was to take upon himself the form of man. The one person with two distinct natures, one who is both God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There upon Calvary he was to die the death of the cursed. He was to die as a substitute for his own people. His blood was to be shed. For without the shedding of blood there would be no remission of sins. And I want to remind you, unsaved soul in this meeting, there's no salvation apart from the blood. There's no gospel apart from the shed blood of the Lamb of God. And Christ shed his blood as a remission for your sin. And having finished the work of our salvation, and having offered himself but once, we are reminded by Hebrews 9 and verse 12 that he was to present his blood before the Father. For there I read, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, there's boys running about this country, and they will preach to people, and they will tell people, oh, the blood of Christ, it ran down into the ground, and there it rotted away. That's not in keeping with the Scriptures. That's not in keeping even with the type that we find here in the book of Leviticus. The blood of Christ is precious, and he was to bring it. Oh, we can't explain it, but he was to present it before the Father, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Savior's death and his shed blood is what is in view. And the offering up of the goat upon the altar for the sins of the people. The offering was not complete until the high priest, with the blood, brought it into the holiest of holies, in through the veil, and sprinkled it before and upon the mercy seat. We read that even in this chapter. Blood had to be brought and presented. And it was sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Means of forgiveness and the approach of the people to God was upon the grounds of the shed blood. And when Christ upon that cross, when he cried, "Finished!" When he bowed his head in death, one of the proofs was that that veil in the temple, it was rent from top to bottom. And there is a way opened up now for sinful man to approach God. It is through the blood-sprinkled way of the cross. It is through the shed blood of the Lamb. Tell me, you who are afar off in your sin tonight, will you avail yourself of this open way? Seek to draw nigh to God through the once for all offering for sin in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way you can come to God. You must come through His Son. You must come through His Beloved. There is only one way that leads home to heaven. And that is through the way of the cross. You miss the cross. You miss heaven. You reject the cross. You reject the work of Christ and the shed blood. You reject an eternity in God's heaven forever. The sin offering. Let me show you secondly here the transfer of sin. We have touched upon the offering up of the goat as a sin offering. How its blood was the price demanded for sin, for God's justice to be satisfied. The load of sin is a great weight. It's a great burden. And that, my dear friend, tonight without God's salvation is a weight that increases every moment where you are concerned. Your debt cannot be paid by yourself. And every time that you sit under the preaching of the gospel, and every time that you say no to the Lord Jesus Christ, you trample under feet the precious blood of the Lamb. And your sin, the debt of sin, increases. But I tell you tonight, alas, and the shed blood is the only remedy for that weight and for that burden of sin. And for the soul that trusts Christ, for the soul that rests upon the efficacy of His precious blood, then there is forgiveness to be had. And the Lord is able to blot every page that is recorded against you. He is able to blot it out. The blood of Christ is able to clear away every barrier that is stopping you and hindering you reaching heaven. And around that great throne one day, there will be those from every nation and kindred, people and tongue, who shall be singing the praises of God, and who shall have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they will be in heaven for all eternity, free from sorrow and free from sin. Let me ask you, will you be one of them? You have assurance tonight that you'll be there. You see, that is the hope. That is the assurance that every one of God's people has, all because of Christ and His offering up of Himself for sin. For in the Savior not only has the sinner one who died in their stead, but through His sacrifice we have one who has dealt with our sins. And that is the thought that is seen in the other goat that was chosen to be the scapegoat in the tabernacle. Taken from among the flock. It was sinless victim just like the other. But you'll notice that upon its head there was to be depicted the transferring of the sins of the people. Look at the words of verse 20. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation on the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. And the Holy Ghost there, you'll notice, seems to emphasize the fact that it was a live goat. That is a word which is repeated not only in verse 10, but it is found there also in verse 20 and in verse 21. It was a live goat that was offered. It was a live goat that was presented. And Christ, our sacrificial lamb, He was one who was full of vigor and full of life when He presented Himself on behalf of His people. It was the Savior Himself who said, I will lay down my life. He did not die of some disease. He did not die from some weakness. But He willingly went to the cross. And He willingly laid down His life. And upon this live goat was to be laid the hands of the high priest. And there was the confession of the sins of the people over it. All the transgressions. See how it's laid out there in verse 21? Confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. All their transgressions. And all their sins. All the catalogue of sins were spoken. All their iniquities were openly confessed in the presence of the people. They were made to see it. They were made to hear it. The blood already had been shed. The atonement had been made. Now, as it were, they were to realize that their sin, which had caused the death of the other goat, was being transferred from them, and it was being transferred upon the head of this other goat. And what a deep feeling must have pervaded through the camp when that took place, as they considered the burden of sin taken away, and as they considered the burden of sin being relieved from them, and instead been laid upon the head of the scapegoat. What a beautiful picture is portrayed there for us. For I thrust you forward in time to that day when the darkness covered the cross and covered the earth while the Son of God hung and suffered and bled and died on the cross. He was that sinless offering. Yet he who knew no sin yet became sin for us. And there, as in the words of Isaiah 53, it was the Lord who was to lay on him the iniquity of us all. No mere man could lay our sins on his head, but it was God himself. And there on the cross, Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree as if they were his own. He suffered the full judgment and penalty for them that we might be forgiven, that we might be set free. And the apostle puts it like this in Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Our sins all met upon the Savior at Calvary. And as our substitute, he received them all. I think I used the illustration before of the preacher who was preparing the message. He was in the study and he looked out and he saw, as aware, the dark clouds drawing near. They all seemed to converge together. Just coming right overhead, it was then that the storm broke. The clatter of thunder was heard. And the deluge came. So is the picture there in Isaiah 53 and 6. For on him, God hath laid on him. And you'll see your margin, it renders, it caused to meet on him the iniquity of us all. The storm of God's wrath gathered overhead at Calvary. His wrath against sin was met in Christ. It was poured out upon his only begotten and beloved Son. All our sin. You see, if there was one sin which was not laid upon Christ, if there was one sin in which he did not shed his blood for, if there was one sin that he could not atone for, then I tell you, not one of us would ever have the assurance and hope of being eternally saved and in heaven one day. Sin will keep us out of heaven. But bless God, we can say he paid it all. All to him we owe. Our sins in total, God caused to meet on him. And there he was to pay the punishment for them that was our due. That means, dear sinner, if you will have your sins dealt with, you will have them paid for. You must look to Christ by faith. You must receive him as your own and personal Savior. You can't look to the church. You can't look to mother or father because they are saved. You can't look to your giving, even in the offering. You must look by faith to Christ who has paid it all for you. You must cry out to God for mercy to save your soul. And bless God, at the repentance of your sin and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you will know that immediate blessing of your sins being relieved from you. It's like Pilgrim when he came to the foot of the cross. The burden of sin rolled away. He was relieved from it. You will know immediate pardon and peace in the knowledge that your sins are forgiven. You will know the sin matter of your heart dealt with once and for all. How do I know? For payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding, surely his hand, and then again at mine. Oh dear soul, tonight would you not have Christ as your Savior and have him now? Now take him now. See it. There's not only the transfer of sin here, but I want to show you the removal of sin. You see, when the people were to see the hands of the high priest, as it were, transferring their sin, and as they were to hear the confession of those sins made in their presence, they then were to realize something else of which this verse speaks about. Let me read it to you again, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. The goat upon which the transfer of sin had been made was to be sent away. And you'll see there the place to which it was to go, the place to which it was to be sent. It was outside the camp. It was sent out into the wilderness. Sent out into that desert and barren place. Into that place wherein dwelt no life, but a sure burial ground. And so that you don't miss the significance of it, it is put differently in verse 22. It is unto a land not inhabited. A place where it would perish. And it would perish with the fearful load which had been laid upon it. With that place residing in your mind, that desert place, you can appreciate the fact that it would never be seen again. It would never return again. And therefore, its iniquities which had been laid upon it would never be able to reappear again. Scapegoat. The one that was sent away was banished into the land of desolation, wherein there was no sound of life, neither was there water to sustain it. It was in the wilderness. Was consigned to that waste, howling place, a place of death. I want you to see how it got there. You see the words of verse 21 at the end? It says, and it shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. What rendered him fit? Well, it was the fact that he knew the lie of the land. He knew such a wilderness and such a desolate place. A man in whom the people would have every confidence that in letting the goat go, he would do a good work and provide for it never to return again with their sin upon its head. Who could do such a work of carrying away our sins? I turn you to Psalm 88. The words of verse 6 and 7. Where I read there, Thou hast led me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Where I read in Psalm 69 and verse 2, I sink in deep mire. Where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. That fit man, men and women, must be Christ. Inasmuch as he also is represented in the scapegoat. For who, the one who has paid the punishment for our sin, he has borne them all away and they're never to be seen again. That is what God does with our sins. When we lay hold upon God's Lamb for salvation, He forgives our sin, yes, and takes them away. As far as the east is from the west, so far, the psalmist could say, hath He removed my transgressions from me. Or the prophet Micah could say in chapter 7, verse 19, Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. They are in the land not inhabited. And the margin rendering of that is the land of separation. And I put it to you, it was upon the cross of the Calvary that the Lord was cut off out of the land of the living. In that place of desolation and death, where he was to be forsaken by men and by God. It was there that Christ dismissed our sins. And He sent them away as with regards to the wrath that was the due for them. God says to the laden sinner tonight, and God says to the weary soul tonight who is burdened down with their sin, to that soul who will look by faith to the Savior and lay hold upon Him, God says, thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He will not only forgive your sin, but you send them away, never to be seen, never to have accounted for. The greatest blessing is to know that this is a once for all sacrifice for sin. We have looked tonight in Leviticus 16 of the Day of Atonement. We have looked at the work of the Old Testament High Priest. But I want you to understand that what He did and what is portrayed that He did in Leviticus 16, He had to do the next year again. And the next year. And the following year. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, I read in Hebrews, He now once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Once and once only. Tell me, dear soul, has your sins been laid upon Christ? Have you known them been taken away, removed from you, the slate wiped clean? I tell you tonight, the good news of the gospel is that you can know the removal of your sins forever if you will but come, and if you will but receive Christ and be saved. Will you not take Him? Will you not receive the message of the gospel by faith tonight and be saved? God help you to do so for His own name's sake. Amen.